and I really have greater expectation. You know, I can see this church growing, and I can see that we still have like vacation, long weekend, summer, and we have a great number of people and also new people coming. And then maybe you don't, you didn't realize, but today we are celebrating 2 years from our great opening. We had a great opening in September 2016, you know? So 2 years in this building. And then we have been patient. We are waiting for the Lord to give the next step, for the next step, because His timing is perfect. And I can see people. Sometimes people come in and stay for a while and go. We have so many people coming once in a while, but they still coming, because when they come, they have a good food for their spirit. And we have the upper room meeting. We have people that you don't know. Maybe you don't know. They're members. And they're coming for almost 2 years and to the Word of Life Church. So I'm so grateful. I love the Lord because He's so faithful. It's not easy to be here. It's not, you know, we know it's a new beginning. But you guys were so faithful. Not all of you, but especially the old ones. No. I didn't finish. Not all of you were faithful, like since the beginning. So we have a group of people here since the beginning. They were faithful since the beginning, believing that God has something special, and believing that the promises of the Lord, leaving the theater and coming to a new facility. So not everybody were here. Okay. But them, like, no, you have Chuck, Cheryl, Mike, Athena, Mary, Jonathan. You came later with me. Jeff was here too. Well, you guys. This guy, he ministered to me the first time I came to church. And supernaturally, I understood him. No, not because of your English, because of my English. I was learning English and he was ministering. And said, well, come on. I went home and I said, wow, it was great testimony. And prayed for me and other ones. And I have the flag in my office with the people wrote like messages to me. You know, we were so faithful, waiting for God's timing to be here. And God is faithful. Now, it was 2 years. Can you believe that? 2 years ahead? And we have the Holy Spirit meeting. We still have the life groups. We had meetings here, supernatural meetings here in the evenings. We have Sunday mornings, great. We have people growing, preaching, being part of the worship. So you have to look this everything and say, wow, God is working. God is always working. So because we are not lazy and we are believing and waiting patiently for the next step, for the next step, for the next step. So he's doing things and we are growing. I can see people with greater expectation in their hearts. So the message last week to me was great because God is telling me about that. Build that inside of you. Because if you go, okay, Dita is going to the Bahamas, to Africa, and she's not like, oh my gosh. I believe she's building that excitement. Ooh, 2 days, 3 days. I'm going. I'm leaving. So we are building excitement. That's important. When we build excitement, it's because we believe it's going to happen. Because you don't build excitement in your life, you know, like when you don't believe. I'm excited, but I don't believe. No, it's not like that. And then I said, oh, I'm going to connect this message with the next message, which is about God's timing. It's about God's timing. It's very important. Because if you don't pay attention and we don't really understand that God has set the time for us, and it's the perfect one, we may get discouraged. Oh no, 2 years passed. You have great expectation. You are talking about great things God has done in this place. But I thought about 500 people here in 2 years. You know, we build some expectation. It's not God's timing. It's not His will, because I don't know why. I just feel like He's preparing us. Because new people come into this place, and now you can offer people, oh, they don't speak English. Wow, we are prepared to have Spanish meetings. We have somebody translating to that lady. So it's good. oh, I don't really understand about the Holy Spirit because my pastor never talked about the Holy Spirit. What I understand, Holy Spirit is for the beginners, for the apostles, and that's it. No, then we have our meetings in the morning. We have the upper room meeting that the Holy Spirit is moving in us and through us. I've never felt like laying my hands on people. Then now we have people coming on Sunday and lay hands and getting more excitement. And that's awesome, church. I'm excited. Really, I'm excited. You know, celebrating 2 years, 2 years. And then it's good. I was reading something about the fast food generation. And so I'm going to mention that, fast food generation. We want things right away. Things right away. That's dangerous. Because when it doesn't happen, we start doing our way. Our way. But we already gave our life to Jesus Christ and said, oh, now I don't belong to myself. I belong to you. So now do whatever you want with my life. Tomorrow. Because not tomorrow, I don't need you anymore. So this fast food generation, that it's kind of bring that kind of society behavior to the Church of Christ. And I see, as a pastor, I hear people all the time. I read and people call me and sometimes, oh, wait, be patient. You inheritance, the promise. You will receive the promise. It's yours. Be patient. No. But I thought many things too. But when you start putting our needs on the throne and then pray and then waiting for the Lord, no, peace comes and say, no, Lord, your perfect timing is the best one. Is the best one. So don't really let that fast food influence come to your life. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Now, I have many examples in the Bible, and I'm going to share with you. You know, he knows everything he's doing. He knows. And one thing I've learned, faith is now. Not I will believe in the future. No, faith is now. But the manifestation of your faith is in the future. You know, salvation is in the future. When you say, I love Jesus, I want Jesus in my life. I don't know how future is, a half second or no, that's the fastest one. Salvation is like faith. You believe, boom, you are saved. So that's good. So say, Lord, I believe in you. I give my life to you. You are saved. How long that takes? I don't know if it's 1 second. I don't know. But you know, the thief on the cross, he said, you know, you shouldn't be here, Jesus. I know you were the Son of God. I know you. No, it's not your place. And Jesus said, you know, I will see you in heaven. So because he believed in Jesus, like, boom. But not everything is like that. And sometimes people ask me why pastor is taking so long to receive the blessing. So I, unfortunately, church, I don't know. Only if the Holy Spirit comes upon me and with the work of knowledge, word of the prophecy, or work of wisdom, I start speaking, oh, because of this. But if that doesn't happen, don't worry. I don't know. I'm honest. Sometimes I don't know. But what I know, and I believe, that God is preparing you to receive the blessing. Or God is preparing someone else to join you, and that's going to be the blessing. Or God is taking berries out of your way first. Then you can go and move forward without, like, hitting the traps, taking traps out of your way. I know God is preparing. It's a time of preparation. So instead of get discouraged because it's taking too long, get ready. Maybe it's because God is building faith, waiting you to build faith inside of you. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you need to do something as well. So he's waiting for you to build faith. He's working with you. And he wants you to have a better character, like, you know, he's working. That's the point. So if you don't see things happen in your life, it's not because God doesn't want to give us. If, of course, if His will, if you are praying for that, is according to the scripture. It's because it's not the right time. And I believe when we pray, He already set the time for us to receive. I believe that. The same way, I want that if Gabriela asked me to drive my car, I won't give the key to Gabriela. It's not because I don't love her. It's not because I don't trust her. That's not because, it's because she's not prepared. She's not prepared to drive my car. She doesn't know how to do it. It's against the law. She's younger. So, but that doesn't mean when it's the right time, she's going to have the car key to drive the car. It's going to take a little bit long. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know, it's never, it's important. It's not when it's taking, for us, it's taking too long. Like maybe you thought, no, it's taking too long, 2 years. Oh, and it's still building things. We're still believing for things. We're still, it's taking too long. So you know, one thing I want you to realize that it's not God's mistake. It's not God's mistake. It's not God's problem. God doesn't want to hurt you. God doesn't want to punish you. God doesn't want to do anything like that. He's just waiting for the right time to prepare us. To prepare us. So I want to see people coming to this church and then you know, people from the house, people from the streets, visitors. I want people, non-believers, coming to this church. I want to see crippled people coming inside, wheelchairs. I want to see people coming. But I want to be ready to do something for them. I want to see the Holy Spirit moving and healing taking place. I want to see people getting born again. I want to see people just bowing down on their knees and crying because they feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. We are spending time. Oh, yeah, Sunday night sometimes we get a nap. And it's a good one. But he said, no, there's something even better than this. Because we are building that expectation that something's going to happen. And we are not giving up because if it's taking longer than I thought, it's not taking longer than the Lord thought. And then I believe suddenly, boom, suddenly, it's going to happen. Because we trust in Him. We trust in Him. We are just waiting for Him. Okay? So if you are praying for something, if you are believing for something in your life, for your house, for your family, for your church, for your job, for your financial situation, for your, you know, documents, mission trip, children, whatever you are believing for, just trust in God. Trust in God. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. But maybe you are not ready for that. Or maybe it's just not the time. So waiting, I don't know. But we need to be with Him. We need to, don't forget, so, okay, I prayed and that's it. God has the time and I'm going to rest. No, we believe, we declare, we move on that, we have actions. You know, faith with actions. And we keep building up faith in us, no, developing our character. No, we're still working. Instead of getting disappointed, scored, it's taking too long. No, we keep working. Diet is terrible because we have to work a long time. You don't see the result. And most of us give up. We give up, like, diet. Going to the gym, I don't go because I gave up so many times. I work and work and work and work and nothing happened. Ooh, it's too hard. I want to have fun. And sometimes not that fun. And I give up because the result is taking too long. But in the Lord, when we prepare, we are prepared. Then no, something's going to happen every day. Every day is a new day. Every day is an opportunity for us to build up in ourselves things that's going to make things happen in our lives. And God answers our prayers. And this is, the church is the good sign. is the good sign. Hebrews 6:12 says this: "We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who, through faith and patience, inherit what has been promised." Can you imagine if we stop believing and have patience, maybe Jesus is taking too long to come. We have scriptures in Hebrews. People say, Jesus is taking too long. You know, always the same. And people get discouraged. So, I don't know if this is the truth. I don't know if Jesus Christ is coming. When somebody comes and says, Jesus is coming, it's very close. It's near. He's coming. People look at you and say, you think? Yes, I believe. No, but it's taking too long. No, it's the perfect timing. It's the perfect timing. You know? So use that time to preach the gospel to somebody to get saved, healed. And you know, this is what we should do. Not thinking about, But if we keep believing and have patience, and we keep doing what He's asking us to do, our own preparation and building up our relationship with Him, things are going to happen and we will never give up. And you will get more excited day after day serving the Lord. It's going to happen. Don't give up. You know, we have examples. Bad examples. The people. That's so many examples. I'm just picking the easy ones because I don't want to read all the scripture. Big scriptures. And you know the story. But we have examples in the scripture that people made wrong choices because they couldn't wait for God's timing. And when I was reading and searching things, and then the Holy Spirit was showing me, this guy, yeah. So I was like, wow, there's so many people, so many examples in the Bible that people didn't wait for the right time and they messed up everything. And God, He wasn't saying, that's okay. No problem. God was mad. God was angry with them. He doesn't like. He wants to see you waiting for Him, because this is an expression of faith. So I'm waiting for you, Lord. I know, because I've prayed, and I prayed the word according to your word, and I know you want to give the desires of my heart, and I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait doing something good, preparing myself, developing my character, building up my faith. I'm going to do great things, preaching the gospel, doing what you gave me as an assignment. So, no, and I'm waiting for you, Lord. That's our trust in Him. That is our trust. And, Pastor, I know that's simple. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows, but not everybody is doing that. No, not everybody. Like I was saying last week, so people, I'm watching MasterChef, the show on TV, and I gave an example. The lady, I'm excited, and was almost crying. So, come on, she doesn't look excited. And the same lady, I was sharing with Elizabeth a few weeks ago. That lady, she was there cooking. And Patricia and I, we are watching again. We watched a long time ago. Now we are watching again. And I said, wow, I feel like God. I know her future. She's going to be the winner. I know. This is the way God sees us. He knows our future. He knows our future better than we know our present time. So she was there I'm going to get out of this program because, my food is terrible today. I did a terrible job and I'm, bye-bye everyone. She was crying. And I said, no, I know your future. You are going to be the winner. You are more than conquer. And I felt like God. I can see the future. But, He sees our future. And He's expecting us to celebrate. And say, ooh, thank you, Lord. He's already celebrating, and we are crying. Why? No, we celebrate. I know my future. I'm more than conquer. He has made us wonders. Powerful people. And I saw that lady. So no, don't give up. Don't give up. You know, your future is brilliant. Your future is going to be brilliant. You're going to be the winner. And God is saying the same. Don't give up your life because it's a brilliant life. I have so many plans for you. Your future is great. Don't give up your child. Don't give up your children. Don't give up your family. Don't give up your husband. Don't give up your wife. Don't give up your job, maybe. I don't know. Don't give up because God says, oh, no, I know your future. He's telling us, rejoice at the right time. At the right time, it's going to happen. Amen? The first example was, you know, actually we have Adam and Eve. If God said, you know, I don't want you eating this, the fruit of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil. You know, I believe they were having relationship with God every day. Of course they will learn everything about it, good and evil. So God was, you know, our kids, we teach them, they know what is good. If they know what is good, they also know what's not good to do. But, you know, because somebody was, you know, who was whispering in her ears, and then she said, you know, yeah, that's going to be faster. I'm going to eat this. I'm going to do it. And you know the result of that. You know. And then the people of Israel, they were waiting for 430 years to get freedom, to get free of Egypt. So great. But then the first time, when Moses went to the mountain to get all the laws and the rules and from the Lord, and then they started building a golden calf. And I was reading, so no, I believe it was 40 days he was away from them. And Aaron, one of the leaders, he just said, they started pushing him. No, let's do it. Moses won't come back anymore. Well, we need, no, let's do it. Let's do it. You know, sometimes we put so much pressure on us. People around us. Can you imagine people in the boat putting pressure on Peter? Don't go, Peter. Don't go, Peter. Don't go. The opposite. And Peter said, oh, no, yes, I won't walk on the water. No, Jesus. But he wasn't listening to those guys. He was watching Jesus Christ and listening to Jesus Christ. Come. Just one word was enough for him to obey. And then these guys, they build. Okay, give all the rings, the necklace, the gold. So when sometimes, because we are waiting for a period of time, we jump, not we, them, somebody. We jump from the supernatural thing that God has prepared for us to the natural thing. So now I can touch the golden calf. We see people saying, oh, I'm Christian, and they do that. They need the statue. They need the idols. They need things like that because they need to touch. And they did that. And God was so upset. After that, you know, they lost their gold, the prosperity they probably took from the Egypt. And they lost, you know. Disobedience is connected with poverty as well. You know, they lost 3,000 people. They killed 3,000 people. The Bible talks about plagues coming, and that coming. What else? Yeah, I have scripture here. Punishment. The story is in Exodus 32, but I'm gonna read 34 when it says, whatever, because God said, no, uncle, I'm gonna send the angels to be with you guys. Okay, but that's important. Whatever, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sins. So there's important consequences when we don't wait for the God's best time. There's consequence when you try to do in our own way, natural way, instead of doing God's way. It's very important, church. This is very important. That's why God's timing is perfect. It's perfect. And Genesis 15 talks about the covenant God made with Abraham. You know that. The same. I talked a little bit about Abraham last week. The same thing. God said, I have a promise for you. Hey, come. Come. Come outside. Can you see the stars? Can you see the stars? So, you know, it's going to be like that. You want to preach, Lucas? It's going to be like that. Hey, Marcel. If you want the key, upstairs key too. Whatever is better for them. Yeah. No, no problem. You know, because we have the key for upstairs. If somebody wants to play and with the kids, it's good. Back. So Abraham, he said, okay, this is going to be your generation. This is going to be your inheritance. Heirs, whatever is the right word. So like the stars in the sky. And I love that because God always shows things for us. She allows us to have pictures of what's going to be our future. You know, because it's simple. If you have a picture of your future, you know, when you are kind of wavering, so I don't know, maybe it's getting too long. What's going on, Lord? And then he comes and says, come outside, look the stars. Oh, I remember. That's going to be the generation you promised me. So I have pictures in my mind. I have pictures in my heart. Then, you know, sometimes I feel like, whew, does it take too long, Lord? And I said, no, I'm going to show you. Then I have that picture again. I know what's going to happen in the future. If we keep faithful, God is faithful to fulfill all the dreams He put in your heart, all the plans He has for you to fulfill. Amen? So, but we know with Sarah did. You know, I don't know, I don't believe it's take too long. So he's talking about that. So, okay, take the slave. And we know the result. Ishmael is the result. Ishmael. But Lord said, no, it's not him. It's not him. It's someone's going to be born from you and Sarah. So it's not Ishmael. So he was there. Like, now, okay, now I have this baby. Lord, make him, bless him, and it's going to be the one we go from him. And the Lord said, no, I'm going to give you someone. And you know the story. I'm 90, he's 100, whatever, she can. But he said, no. He said, today, most of the problems we have with the Muslims and then the Christians is because of this. Ishmael. So they think Ishmael is the promised guy, the promised son. And they are fighting against Christians because we know it's not him. It's Isaac. And they believe, what I've read about the Quran, they say that it's not Isaac who Abraham was trying to kill, was Ishmael. So it messed up everything because of she couldn't wait for the God's timing. Look the consequences we have now. So now they're fighting, killing people, one or two different. So in Galatians talks about that too. He's the natural son, the son of the slave. But Isaac is the spiritual son, is the anointed one, is the one he made it. He called to be the promised son. That's the word. He's the promised son. So nothing. No, this is a good warning for the church of Christ. So if you were trying to do something in your own strength, knowledge, wisdom, it's going to be dangerous. Looks good. I have the scripture here. Abraham, he didn't think. Sarah said, I'll give you my slave and then go and sleep with her and that's it. And he said, oh, okay, good idea. Wisdom, that's nice. And see, their wisdom is not God's wisdom this time. And has a consequence. So just be careful. Another one I don't want to miss is when Samuel, 1 Samuel 10:8. I'm going to read this part. Samuel was telling Saul to go ahead of him. 1 Samuel 10, verse 8 says, "Go down ahead of me to Gilgal." Is that right? Gilgal? Gilgal. "I will surely come down to you to sacrifice burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. But you must wait 7 days until I come to you and tell you what you are to do." Simple instruction. Just wait for 7 days and I'm going to be there doing this. He was the anointed one to do that. But because Saul was under pressure and his soldiers were like going everywhere, not leaving, scared, everything, and he was under pressure and said, no, 7 days is not coming, I'm going to do it. Wrong decision. Wasn't God's timing. God's time was 7 days when Samuel comes. And he did, because the men's begun to scatter, going everywhere. And he did. And this is the verse 11 says, "What?" Samuel said, "What have you done?" asked Samuel. "What have you done?" And I believe he's, no, you can read, and he was explaining and everything. And then verse 13, Samuel, after hearing Saul and his excuses, said, "You have done a foolish thing, Samuel did. You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now, your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him ruler of his people. So because you have not kept the Lord's command." So he couldn't wait. He couldn't obey the Lord's command. And he paid the price. You know, we have nations paying the price. We have people paying the price because of people making mistakes. But we also have ourselves paying the price because we're not able to wait. So it's very important to be able to wait God's timing to fulfill things in our lives, to have the next step, to move forward. It's little by little. It's progressive. He's preparing us. Now, it don't feel like, when I'm 100% prepared, okay, God is going to let me go. No. It's not 100. We have been prepared along the way. That's why you need faith. Because that girl, if she knows she is going to be the winner, I know I'm the winner, so I'm not cooking anymore. If God says, next week, he's going to give you $3 million, Ali. And then Ali's going to say, woohoo. Call his boss and, come on, I'm not working today. I'm not going anymore. I don't care about you. I'm kidding. You're not going to do that. But why faith? I already have $3 million. So why work, church? I'm going on vacation. No? Oh, sorry. No. I want to. We don't need faith. But when God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm blessing you. And you have to believe every day and rejoice every day because you know the result. Sometimes you don't see, just stars. Ooh, yeah, visions. But if we need to work for that to happen. And this guy, he lost his authority as a king of Israel because he didn't obey. He didn't wait for God's timing. That's really dangerous. So we really need to get into his presence and pray. I have new people. I can share a little bit of my testimony coming to Canada now, receiving this word from the Lord, I know what happened. I know what they why they denied my visa as a dentist. Because I was trying to do my way. Oh, this is the easiest way. This is the easiest way to go. I thank Lord, because when we are waiting for the time, and sometimes we do things and we fail, it doesn't work. Instead of being mad with God, I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. I see especially young girls, young guys cry, I lost. Oh, my boyfriend, he's the best one. I want to get married. He's the... No, you should say, thank you, Lord. If he's gone, it's thank you, Lord. It's not for me. There's a better one coming. You know, I know. It's like that. So I said, Lord, I was crying. So why? And then I said, now I understand. I was rushing. I wasn't waiting for God's timing. I was applying to do something. And I know the questions I had to answer more times was, are you going to be a dentist here? You don't know, because it wasn't everybody at the same time. But this is the answer I answer more often. Oh, are you going to be a dentist here? Are you going to be a dentist here? And I remember some of you when I said, no. I don't have visa to be a dentist here. I don't have permission to be a dentist here. I gave up. I have a missionary visa. So no dentistry in Canada, no dentistry in my life anymore. And the person said, oh, that's good to hear, because now I believe you are not leaving us in like a few years. And I, now I know. Instead of crying and asking God why, I should say, thank you, Lord. Yes, dentistry visa, like that kind of visa, it's not right. And he told me about the missionary visa, and like this, his timing, I was here. If I come, when I got the first time, I tried as a dentist, because of the way Canada was open the door. Probably Pastor Brad is still here, working, doing things, and then I couldn't be called to be in charge of this church. And I believe my money won't be enough. Of course, God is our provider, but I was doing the wrong thing, wrong time. So, I came at the right time. When I talked to people, he said, oh, that's a miracle. It is a miracle. In 10 months, learning the language, and somebody comes to me and says, I felt in my heart, I am praying for this for a long time, and I feel like somebody needs to take over. A Canadian church? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. You know, but I came at the right time. At the right time. I couldn't come first. I couldn't come later. So it was the right time. And God blessed us. I believe I'm blessed. I'm blessed. No, there's many stories. And then, thank you. I'm here. And I will stay here, okay? Yesterday, I was helping Alanir moving, and then his friend. I know his wife because she came for the tea. And the first time I've met him, just as in the elevator, he asked, oh, Alanir said you were a dentist in Brazil, so are you not practicing here? Why? You should practice. You know, make a lot of money. They always say that. I said, no, that's why I'm here. Because I'm not making money by myself. God is providing me. My story in Canada is a supernatural story. I'm not believing in the gold calf or money or my job. This is for me, okay? I'm not believing that, you know, oh, the church is going to pay double. You know, ooh, I'm growing just to have like three times more. No, I'm just believing in the Lord. You know, if this is, oh, no, as a dentist, woo, at least. 150,000 a year, at least. Oh, so really? Good. Good for them. I can make much more than that. If God wants, why not? Because my God has much more than that dentist has. You know, but I'm not focusing in the golden calf. I'm focusing in what God is bringing to me. No, I'm going to be faithful. And you are faithful. And I have to be faithful as well. No, I have scriptures now just not to encourage you. Just bad news from the Bible. I have good news too. But a word, Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. So this is a new international version. I like this version. And a season for every activity under the heavens. So there's a season for us. This is our season to stay here. This is our season to have this number of people. This is our season. I can see. You cannot see, but I can see so many new faces. And every week we have new faces. Like I said last week, last month we had like 3 people getting saved. So new people coming. And that's good. So new season. Oh, 2 years in this place? We still have 3 years at least here. I believe we'll have a problem, a good problem, not having enough room here. And maybe you have to work more, 2 services. Get ready, worship team, get ready. Right, John, all of us get ready. So 2 services, I don't know. In 3 years, maybe you have to move again for a bigger place. I know we're going to grow and grow with a healthy church. Healthy church, healthy, strong, anointed, like rejoicing. When people come, they see us smiling. They see the joy of the Lord. They praise and worship like we did this morning. Did you feel the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit moving in this place? So the word, maybe it's a simple word. It's a powerful word because it's the word of God. It's warning us. It's telling us something that we shouldn't do and something that we should do to please the Lord. So there's a season for every activity. So Habakkuk 2, verse 2 and 3 says, then the Lord said to me, write my answers. Oh, this is New Living Translation. It's really good. Write Habakkuk 2. Habakkuk. Okay, Habakkuk for the Brazilians. And I don't need Hungarian. I love the multicultural church. Say in Malaysian, what's... See? That's... I think I speak Malaysian. I speak a little bit of Malaysian. It's the same Portuguese. Write my answers plainly on tablets so that the runners can carry the correct message to others. This vision is for a future time. It describes the end and it will be fulfilled. It will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently. Wait, patient. It sounds like it's taking too long to Jesus Christ to come. Wait patiently, doing what's right. If it's taking too long for your family get fixed, wait patiently, doing what you're supposed to do. Keep praying, keep speaking life over them. So wait patiently, because it will be fulfilled. God's promises is great, is wonderful. For it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. So God is so faithful. So faithful. He's encouraging us. He's encouraging you today. It's saying, no, don't give up believing. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. Nothing is too hard. I know so many people. I had thousands of testimonies. I have people. Patricia always tells about our friend. I can just allow my wife go to church, but I want to drink my beer. Woo-hoo, I'm happy like that. He's a pastor today. He's a pastor. Sometimes I say, can we talk something else? Because he just want to talk about the Bible. If you're talking about soccer, he comes and knows soccer. Jesus probably paid. So, and sometimes, oh, you're so holy. He's a good friend. I have one said, so I'll never step in the church. I'll never come in. I'll never. My first pastor at Word of Life Church, his wife was pushing his pants down. No, you won't go. You stay home. No, I'm going. Now I'm a Christian. I'm going. No. Like this. My first pastor, he identified my calling. When I couldn't identify my calling. Yeah, she was fighting. She was like doing that. She was mad. And he said, I'm going to church. I'm going to serve the Lord. And then now she was at Rema director for many years. She's kind of training directors in Rema. She's, you know, nothing is impossible. Just wait patiently. The promise is there and it's going to fulfill. No, I think it's the last one. Lamentations. Yeah, the last one. Lamentations 3:12. Oh, excuse me. Lamentations 3:19. I wanna read this. I'll start with bad things. To create us like something like, ooh. 19 says, the thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I'll never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. No, this guy was suffering. And this is, when I'm reading this, I can hear people saying, I said things like that too. I said things like, no, it's beyond words. It's too hard. It sounds like impossible. Sounds like impossible. Visas sounds like impossible sometimes. But it's, you know, it's not. Because when you serve the God, Almighty God, it's nothing is impossible for Him. Receive that. It's not impossible. It's not impossible. Then he says, yet I still dare to hope. When I remember this, let's see what he remembered. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in Him. I will tell myself, I will say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in Him. I will keep putting my hope in Him. I'll keep believing in Him. Doesn't matter if it's taking too long. Doesn't matter because He's faithful. His mercy, His love. If it's taking too long, it's because of His love and mercy. He doesn't want to give the car key for you if you're not prepared to drive. You're going to die. You are going to die. We have on news, little kids took the car key and had an accident. We know they cannot drive. You know, so if you're waiting for something to happen, it's because He knows the right time. Oh, but He should work in that life. No, He's working in your life now. He loves you. He has mercy on you. He's working. He's building up faith. Again, I will remind you, I told you last week. No, when you were asking the Lord to change somebody, believe He's going to start changing yourself. No, He's going to start changing yourself. Because your reaction has to change. Your behavior has to change. Your words has to change. Your attitude has to change. So when somebody comes against you and says, you know, won't work this way. Let's do a golden calf. We need gods. Then you say, no, no, no. When somebody comes and says, oh, I'm scared. So, no, you are not good enough. You are not able to do it. You know, no. You say, no, I trust in the Lord. And instead of complaining, and instead of fighting, and instead of using words or cursing people or hating people or get disappointed or get discouraged or get offended. You know, now you change your way to your behavior and start saying, you know, this is what you think, not what my God thinks about me. I'm better than this. I'm son of God. I'm child of God. So we change our behavior. Instead of fighting, instead of speaking bad words, we smile and say, no, thank you, Lord. I know whatever the people think about me. I know what you think about me. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. I know what I have and I know what I can do through Christ Jesus. So this is the way. So it's God's love and mercy upon us in our lives. And that's it. Set your mind. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. So set your minds on things above. If it's taking too long for you, I believe it's the right timing, God's right timing. But set your mind on things that is above. That means set your mind in Him. Set your mind in what's good. Set your mind in the Word of God. Declares the Word. Believe in the Word. Live the Word every day in your life. Because nothing is impossible for the Lord. He already set the time for you to receive what you were praying for. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalms 50, I have two more. Cast your cares on the Lord and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. So, it's yours, Lord. It's yours. Psalms 55:22. Cast your care on the Lord and He will sustain you. So, don't leave this place thinking about taking too long. No, leave this place. Lord, I'm casting my cares upon you and I will rest. I will delight in you. And I know at the right time, you will give the desires of my heart. No, Psalms 37. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.